Indeed, indeed. And next hour, of course, we're going to talk about Atlantis, but we will come back in a moment with John Truman Wolf and take your phone calls as we talk about your financial future. Okay, welcome back to Coast, John Truman Wolf with us, author of The Coming Financial Crisis. John, what about the Internal Revenue Service? What's going to happen to that?
Well, you know, if I had my wish, George, that we'd do away with it and we'd replace the income tax with the national sales tax.
I agree with you, by the way, on that. We support the use tax.
Well, it, you know, it would create a level of prosperity in this country unheard of. I mean, it would just be fantastic. That said, you know, more practically, I mean, I don't know whether they're going to actually impeach the head of the IRS or not. I know there was a movement in the House to do so. Clearly, you know, Trump will replace that guy, and hopefully it will become at least have some objectivity and not be attacking different groups and stopping the tax exemption of nonprofit groups and so forth, which it's clearly been doing, and evidence shows that for the last several years.
Well, and clearly it's been used as a crux to get you know, like Al Capone and people like that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a political tool, and that's not what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be an instrument of political policy. It's supposed to, you know, collect tax for the nation, and that's its own problem. But it has been used obviously for political purposes, and all the people that seem to have been in charge of that operation just kind of stepped aside and took the Fifth Amendment. And nobody's been held accountable other than, as I say, I think this issue to impeach the head of the IRS is still being discussed in Congress.
I'm going to give you various age brackets, and you tell me what you would recommend to these people in terms of their savings. And all of them, let's assume, are working somewhere. So if you're in your 20s, what do you do?
Well, I think, you know, if you're young and you're smart, you just start putting away money now. I mean, just it doesn't have to be a huge amount. You can just start building it up, you know. You get to be 50 or 60 and you turn around and you think, well, you know, if I had just put, you know, $100 a month in the bank or $150 a month or $200, you know, I'd have X hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if you're young, just start saving money now. Just put some discipline into your budget and start sticking some money away. That would be the most important information I could give.
30s to 40s.
Well, 30s to 40s, you've got folks that are probably looking to raise a family, and I think the orientation there would be towards getting a home. You know, the real estate information that we discussed a little while ago notwithstanding, if you're going to raise kids, I'd get a home. I mean, it's still the cornerstone of most people's net worth. And so, you know, getting a home and building up some equity in a home and having the stability of a home, I think, makes great sense. You can still get very low low rate. Besides the interest rate on the mortgage, you can get low down payments in homes. So, you know, for that crowd, I would look for them to, you know, as a general statement, to look at getting a home.
40s to 50s.
Well, now you're looking at people starting to retire, or at least thinking, not necessarily starting to retire at 40s, but putting money away in IRAs and 401ks. That would be the focus of that age group. And I would hasten to add that you can own gold in your IRAs. You can own gold offshore in your IRA.
Right.
So you can put an IRA offshore and kind of get it out of the U.S. banking system.
And it's safe.
It's safe, and you let it sit there. If you're in your 40s, you got another 20 some odd years before you have to start pulling it out. So that's what I would do. I would focus on building up assets, and you know, perhaps offshore assets with gold and silver and IRAs and 401ks.
50s to 60s.
Well. I'm not a fan of the stock market. A lot of folks in that age bracket, George, are into equities and mutual funds, and they think those are safe. And I'm just, you know, I'm not a fan of that world. I know a lot of people who've done well there. which is not, to, you know, but it's not where I would go. I'm real conservative in this regard, and I stick with cash. I stick with precious metals, and for that age bracket, some multifamily real estate as an investment is a really good investment. A duplex, a triplex, a fourplex. Mm-hmm. It gives you a very good cash-on-cash return. You get tax write-offs for the depreciation. You know, always consult with your CPA. And you know, if X hits the fan, there's always a place there. So I'm a big fan of multifamily real estate.
And 60s to 70s.
Well, I don't think that's too much different than 50s to 60s.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I think that's the same crowd, and I would, you know.
But you do have your Social Security coming in right around then.
Yeah, that's right. That you're.
That helps.
You're exactly right. You know, that kicks in, and I stay with, you know, cash, precious metals, some real estate. If you've got a good bit of net worth, look at some producing farmland. There are actually REITs that in which you can participate. That's a real estate investment trust where somebody else manages it, which you can invest in, that manage income-producing farmland. I think that makes great sense.
All right, let's go to the phones now. They're lining up for you here, John. We'll go to Harry in Port Huron, Michigan, to get us started. Hello, Harry. Good night. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I just want to thank God that John is on, and this is a divine appointment, John. It is absolutely that, because when you just started talking a minute ago about the banks and the bail-ins, that is absolutely huge for people to know. You mentioned for people to get out of the big banks. I wrote two names down here immediately, and that was Wells Fargo and Chase, and I'm wondering, what are the other big banks specifically where people need to get out of? Can you name more?
Well, Harry, thanks for your kind words. B of A, Chase, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, U.S. Bank, those are big chain banks that have lots of derivatives in them. The rules for bail-ins are limited, at least as they are written now, Harry, with banks of $50 billion or more in assets. But it is the big money center banks, the ones that you mentioned, the ones that I just mentioned, that are the ones that are pregnant with these derivatives that have I think Chase has got something in the order of $50 trillion in derivatives. So that's five or six of them right there, Harry.
Now that's a lot. That's a lot. Kathy's in Post Falls, Idaho now. Welcome to the show. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really love your show. I've listened to it since the Art Bell days.
Oh, thank you.
And I depend on your information that you have from your wonderful guests and from yourself, too.
Okay, thanks.
So thank you. Really, God bless you. Okay, I'm 69, never saved money in my whole life, and I depend on my Social Security completely, except for a little bit of outside work that I do.
Okay.
Because I'm limited. I live in federal housing here in Post Falls, so I can't earn over a certain amount above and beyond my Social Security. I'm concerned about Social Security, or have been, but I'm not as worried about it now that Donald Trump hopefully will get into office. Could you advise me? I have my regular bank account at a local bank that's based in Spokane, Washington, just across the border. They've closed a couple of branches recently. They said that it was due to just not enough business and poor location in one north of Spokane area. But it's always been a good bank for me. I banked there for 21 years. I have another bank that's, again, local, but I'm wondering if I should take that account from that other bank and put it into a credit union that is local. STCU is what it's called.
Well,
could you advise me in my situation? I'm really precarious. I do, however, have a daughter in Northern California who has a wonderful boyfriend who whose parents have a lot of land, and he's a real go-getter. He wants to cultivate the land, and they're both into agriculture really heavily. So I do have that option, but, you know, you don't want to just go down with your kids, you know, move in with
them. Well, they lived with you. Now it's their turn to take care of you, Kathy.
Well, Kathy, it sounds like you've got a good prospective son-in-law, a really good one. It's hard to opine on those banks because I haven't looked at their financial statements, but if they're small regional banks, I would stay with them. You don't need to move to a credit union unless one of those banks has a bad balance sheet. You can go, Kathy, to a place called bankrate.com, and that'll give you a rating on the banks. They're not perfect, but that's one way you can check them out. So I wouldn't, if it's a local bank, I don't see a need to move to a credit union. And, you know, I'm a Northern California boy by native. So, you know, good on your daughter and her boyfriend.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's Cottonwood down there where they are.
Here's another thing you might do. I understand your budget's tight. You know, every so often go buy a Silver Eagle. They're $20.
Mm-hmm. Just put it away.
Just put it away. Stash it away. Just start accumulating them a little at a time.
What do you think of credit unions, John?
I'm a big fan of credit unions, George. You know, they pay better interest rates. Credit unions are owned by the members. They tend not to invest in derivatives. Very, very few of them are in derivatives. They are member owned, and I'm a big fan of credit unions.
Peter's in Santa Monica, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Pete, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for the good show here.
Sure.
The questions that I was wondering was, number one, if the banks do in the future have some problems, how much could they, like, devalue in their value? And, like, what do you think of, like, annuities and stocks?
Well, in terms of how much banks can devalue, Peter, if there is a bail-in, they will be able to take some depositors' money and convert that to bank stocks. Now, that happens when a bank is troubled or they're having problems.
And is your money gone then, John?
Well, what you have, George, is you've got stock in a failing bank.
Well, that's great.
So, you know, the money that you put away for your kids' education is now stock and XYZ.
You've been forced to buy the stock, I guess.
You don't even have a choice. They just convert the money to stock.
They can do that.
They can do that under a bail-in procedure. Yes, they can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even big publicly held banks can do that?
Yes, sir.
Wow. At the going rate, I take it, right?
Yeah, you know, in terms of what the price of the stock would be, I don't know. That would probably be, you know, negotiated with the FDIC or something like that. And I repeat, this has occurred in Europe and is occurring in Europe. It's occurred in Canada.
Really? What about Greece?
Cyprus. Yeah. I mean, that's where it started, in Cyprus. This whole bail-in procedure started there. That was the pilot program that then got exported to Europe and then to Canada. And I repeat, the FDIC has issued a paper on it. They have not said, I repeat, not said that they're going to bail in banks here, but they have issued a paper on how it will work, and that paper's on the Internet. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. It's up there to look at.
And he wants to know about annuities. What do you think of that?
I'd have to have more information about your financial situation. I mean, there are some annuities that make sense for folks depending on their situation. Others, not so much. I have to be a little equivocal on that because I don't have enough information.
The old days are gone when insurance companies would give you a pretty good rate of return, right?
Yes, and insurance companies have to have their money in a bank as well, or the stock market. So if the stock market crashes or there's a banking collapse, the insurance company is at the effect of that.
Well, and we've been doing reports from one of our clients, Lear Capital, gold company, gold silver company, to be very wary of money market accounts now.
Yeah, because money market accounts can go negative, like the negative interest rates we were talking about earlier. Money market accounts can go negative. If the rate on the bonds in which the money market is holding go below zero, then the fund goes below zero. That actually happened in 2008.
Brian in Noonan, Georgia is with us now. Hello, Brian. Thank you for calling.
Hey, George. Hey, Mr. Wolf. I was calling. I wanted to know, he says put money into silver into the cash. Where would we get silver from, and what's the best way to get it?
Well, there's lots of places, Brian, where you can, you know, get it. I don't know if I can say names, George, on the air.
Well, I'll say our client, Lear Capital, 1-800. Well, I'll give you the number later. I don't have it on me right now.
anyway, Lear's a huge provider of gold and silver bullion, so you can call them. I'm sure they have an 800 number, and you can call them and talk to them. I'm a big fan of Silver Eagles. As an estimate, they're probably selling for under $20 today. And then what was your other question, Brian?
Cash and silver. So
yeah, cash is cash. Just, you know, start taking some out and sticking it in a, ideally you have a home safe where you can put the silver in the cash. If not, you can get one. They're not that expensive.
Next up, east of the Rockies, Tana is with us in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Hi, Tana.
Hi, George. I have a question for John, a couple of questions about Armstrong and Arvest Banks, what he thinks about them if they are big banks, and also about the Dodd-Frank laws. Now that the Republicans have taken control, they're talking about loosening the Dodd-Frank legislation, and I wondered how you felt about that.
I can address Dodd-Frank. Hannah, I missed the first part of the question. You said Armstrong, is that
and
a bank?
Yes, Armstrong and Arvest, if you've heard of those banks.
I haven't heard of them.
They're small banks,
so I can't regional. Give an opinion on them, but you could check them out at bankrate.com. Mm-hmm. In terms of Dodd-Frank, it is Dodd-Frank that actually structures the banking laws to permit bail-ins in this country. So I'm not a fan of Dodd-Frank, and hopefully they change it. President-elect Trump has talked about changing Dodd-Frank. It needs to be changed. There are laws in there that are intended to help people, but when you read them and try to put them into practice, they wind up permitting bail-ins. And so I am not a fan of Dodd-Frank.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Okay.
It's something, I guess, John, that so many people are concerned about, and that is just their livelihood to get by day. What do you recommend for that?
Well, you know, I mean, their livelihood, it depends on what they're doing. There are people that have got a lot of, you know, sweat equity into a job, and to use this carrier example that you mentioned at the beginning of the hour, hopefully there'll be more of that, and people will be able to keep their jobs. I'm a strong believer in, you know, you produce, you get results. You just need to produce a good product, whether you're working for a corporation or you're a self-employed business guy. You know, you produce a good quality product and people will pay for it. So, put the shoulder to the wheel and go for it.
On a 1 to 10, what would you have given the Bush administration on its financial handling of things?
I don't know, 5.
All right. Obama administration.
3.
And projections for the Trump administration.
Well, right now he's looking at about a 7.5.
That's not bad.
8, maybe, yeah.
Is not bad. I mean, is it really that fixable, John?
It is fixable. It is fixable. I mean, it will take some time. You can't, wave a magic wand. But if you've got the right policies, George, if you get rid of the regulations, which Trump is talking about doing, the amount of red tape that comes out of Washington would, gag any kind of economic system. So if they're going to get rid of the red tape and let the American worker go at it, I mean, it's the small to medium-sized businesses in this country that drive this economy. And to the degree you can unburden them with unnecessary regulations, it can be fixed. And if you fix the tax system, as you and I were talking about, he's talking about making it simpler, which is a move in the right direction.
Well, I look forward to seeing what happens. John, we're going to come back with final phone calls in a second. Well, next hour, Andrew Collins joins me. We talk about Atlantis and the Caribbean. Fascinating theory. We'll be talking with him about that. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with John Truman Wolf. And John, where do people get your books?
Books on Amazon. They just go to Amazon and put in John Truman Wolf, and they can get The Coming Financial Crisis, which is the latest edition of the books I've written. And if they want the newsletter, they can go to thehardtruthmag.com, thehardtruthmag.com. I have a monthly newsletter up there.
Great. For people who wanted Lear's number for gold and silver, here it is, 1-800-474-4259, 1-800-474-4259. Now let's go back to the phones. Cornelius is with us in Alexandria. Go for it, Cornelius. Good to have you with us. Is he still with us? Well, let's check.
Hello, hello.
There you are.
Okay. Yeah, old Tommy almost forgot about me. Yeah, John, I tell him I'm the godson of the gold man, the Bible bullets and beans, man, and get ready. So, Mr. John, I'm glad you and George are on top of this. I listened to Glenn Beck, and he said they're going cashless in Australia, India, and Africa. And do you have anything on that?
Well, there are definitely efforts to do that. India just came out with legislation a few days ago that limits the size of the bills that citizens in India can carry. There is similar movement in Australia. I don't know about the other place that you mentioned, but this is a global phenomenon, Cornelius. It's actually happening. As I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, there. I read one story of somebody on a train in France getting fined because they carried more than 2,500 euros. There was a similar situation in Scandinavia. So there is an effort to get rid of cash. Even Larry Summers, a former Secretary of Treasury in the United States, has advocated getting rid of the $100 bill here. They use as an excuse that...
counterfeiters.
Because drug runners or whatever use $100 bills, we should get rid of them. But... everybody uses $100 bills, so it's a little bit silly. The effort is to be able to control people's financial lives with digits, zeros and ones.
That's what they want to do, to be sure.
Yeah.
Scary times ahead. Now, what is wrong with globalism?
Well, I think, there are aspects of globalism that are with us. In other words, ongoing global trade is fine. What's the matter with it, George, is that the effort by globalists is to take away your sovereignty. For the UN to running the United States, we lose our constitutional rights. It's part of the problem with that TPP agreement. U.S. corporations can go to a global court. You lose the Constitution. This is a document that is it's the most respected governmental document in the history of the planet, as far as I'm concerned, the United States Constitution. And when you go outside of it in a global economic system and you start going to courts that don't have constitutional protections, there's a real problem.
Yeah.
So that's the problem I have with it.
Okay, next up, Daniel's in Xenia, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Daniel, you are up. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel.
Mr. Norrie.
Hi.
Hi. I was just curious. You were talking about earlier with getting the silver dollars.
Uh-huh, silver eagles, uh-huh.
Or silver eagles, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I was wondering, is there any historical value to currency? Is there any certain currency with a historical date that you could try to...
A collector's coin.
There are two paths in terms of precious metals or bullion coins or coins. One is numismatics, which is the field that you're talking about. And in that case, there are rare coins, and they do have more value than the metal. You have to know what you're doing in that world. So if you get involved in numismatics or rare coins, you need to be working with somebody that you really trust. The other kinds of bullion coins, which I'm referring to as silver eagles or gold eagles, those are 1 ounce silver or gold coins, and their value is just from the metal that's in them.
All right. What about collectibles like baseball cards and things like that?
I think that's great if you know the those worlds. I mean, I know people that have made a tremendous amount of money, both with comic books, vintage comic books, books, and baseball cards. Again, George, the key there is to know the field, so that you're not buying something, whether it's art or baseball cards or comic books, and somebody's saying it's this or that, and if you don't have your own experience in the area, you don't know if you're making a proper buy. So know
or a proper sale.
Good point. So if you know those fields, by all means, those can be collectibles, can be very handsome and do very well in inflation. And in time, inflation is coming.
My one dream, John, is to go through my mom's attic in Detroit and find all my comic books and baseball cards.
Oh, wow.
But I think she gave them away.
Oh. Ouch.
I mean, I had the comics from the 1950s and the baseball cards.
Wow. Wow, and they're gone?
I think they're gone.
That's a shame.
She didn't know where she put them, and I didn't take them. You know, when I left the home, went to college, got married early, I was gone, but I left everything there because it was my stuff.
Right.
She didn't know where she put them. And,
ouch.
They're not there. She's got old records, the old 78s. They're worth something, too. Barbara in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Barb.
Yeah, I'd like to know from your guest, is that situation where that couple in France got fined for excess euros, is that coming to the States? And how was it determined, how did it come about that they were discovered to have excess cash? And I'll listen off the air.
All right.
They were discovered because what they call finance police were going through the train and actually checking the amount of money that people had with them, believe it or not.
Like they had to go through their wallets and purses and pockets?
I don't know exactly what they did, but I presume so because this was the finance police and they were going through and checking the amount of cash people had. So I presume they were having people open their purses or guys open their wallets, yes. I don't know how else they could determine it. The first part of the question, is it coming here? I think the answer to that is yes. Whether or not we're going to have finance police on airplanes and trains, I don't know. But I do think I know there is currently an effort to reduce the amount of cash that people can carry. Again, a movement by Larry Summers, the former Secretary of the Treasury, and others to get rid of the $100 bill and so people can just carry smaller amounts of cash. So I think that trend will hit the United States.
Vegas won't like that one, John.
No, they won't.
Let's go to Joe in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Joe.
Great show tonight, George.
Thanks, Joseph.
John, both of you, happy holidays.
You too.
John, what would be your position on us having a 21st century Glass-Steagall? That's just part one of my question.
Well, it's a great question. Thank you for your kind words. The Glass-Steagall Act was an act that was put in place during the Depression. It prohibited investment banks from buying banks, other banks, retail banks, and using depositors' money to make investments for the benefit of the bank. That law served us well from 1933 to 1998 when some bankers from Goldman Sachs and others got it ripped out of the U.S. Legislative, the laws. And Trump has talked about reintroducing Glass-Steagall, and I'm not a big fan of regulations, but that is a good one, and if he can put that back, it makes great sense to do so.
Because during the hearings, the congressional hearings, Jamie Dimon testified and said, we can't help ourselves. We need someone to help control us. Paul Volcker, in the meantime, was saying what he wanted to happen to these CEOs was some Old Testament punishment, more or less, putting some of these guys in jail, because that is the only thing that these rich, powerful men fear is prison.
Well, I agree with you, quite frankly, or whoever was saying that. What happens is they violate the trust of their customers and the American public. They then turn around and, they apologize, they write a big check to the Department of Justice, and they walk away. All you'd have to do is put one or two of these guys in jail, and that would change behavior. Boom, right away. And I think
that didn't happen in 2008, did it?
I'm sorry, George, what?
That didn't happen in 2008. Nobody went to jail.
No, nobody. Nobody.
Let's go to Canada now, international line. Hi, Gary, go ahead.
Hello, George and John.
Well, it's John, not Gary.
Yeah, okay.
You have many names, don't you?
Yeah, I'm the guy behind the door.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, I just wanted to ask you your guess there. Like guitar silver, why is American silver worth more than Canadian silver, set aside the exchange rate?
Well, the exchange rate aside, I advocate that people buy the bullion coins of their nation. So in the U.S., the silver eagle is worth more than the silver maple leaf. But
yeah.
If I were a Canadian citizen, I'd be buying maple leaves.
Okay. And there's three questions. How much cash should you realistically absolutely have on hand?
Well, I use a rule of thumb, John, is a month's budget. I don't know what your budget is, but
my house is paid for, so it's just your utilities and something to eat.
Well, I would suggest a few $1,000s. You know, you can build it up. You don't have to do it all at once. You can just build it up a little at a time. But I would suggest targeting in your case a few $1,000s.
Yeah, and there. And last question. How much realistically absolutely silver could you have on hand?
Well, the truth of the matter is, John, I don't think you can have too much. I don't know all of your financial situation. I don't know what your financial statement is.
You just got to keep it safe so you don't get robbed or something, John.
Yeah, no, you should have a safe, by all means, you should have a safe at home. But, I would have at least, 25% of my assets in cash and silver. Maybe use that as a guideline.
And what about gold?
Well, gold as well. My only quote argument with gold is if you've got a gold eagle today, that's $1,200, where a silver eagle's maybe 20. I'm using round figures.
Right,
here.
It's more affordable to most people.
Yeah, if you're gonna go, if it gets rough, George, you got to buy a tank of gas or some groceries. You're gonna have a hard time doing it with a $1,200 coin.
Yeah, buy the gas station for that price.
That's right.
You never know. Don's in Shreveport, Louisiana. Thanks, Don. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hello, and thank you for your program.
Sure.
I've gotten some mixed reviews. If you're concerned about, I have two questions. One, if you're concerned about, if you do get some cash and you're concerned about in Louisiana with fire, and we got tornadoes too, and I was thinking of getting some money and just putting it in the bank safety deposit box, but I was told that was illegal. I looked on the internet and it said it wasn't, but it's, different banks protocol. Obviously, if they did find out you had money in there, could they confiscate it? What are your thoughts about that? And then, you want me to ask my second question now?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think about, I attended a couple of seminars on this fixed annuities where they guarantee, if bottom drops out, it goes flat, but you only,
all right.
But you have to sign up for a minimum of 5 to 10 years, and it's only 3 to 5% return.
All right, let's talk about that one first, fixed annuities. What do you think?
Well, it depends on the company. It's a hard question to answer only because it depends on the company that's offering them. And, when people talk to me about those things, I look at the financial statement of the insurance company and what their assets look like and so forth. I am generally not a fan of those because the returns are the insurance company has to have their money somewhere. By that I mean they have to have their money in a bank, they have to have their money in the stock market. Now some people like the comfort of going, okay, good, they give the insurance company whatever it is, some amount of money, 50 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand, whatever, and then they get guaranteed X amount of dollars for the rest of their life. And if that makes you comfortable, okay. My basic question there would be, who is it that's offering it? And there are rating services that rate insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at an annuity Check with, I think Weiss Ratings is one company that rates insurance companies, W-E-I-S-S.
And can banks actually confiscate cash in a safety deposit box? I never heard of that.
No, I don't think so, George, but they can to get to that question. But here's the problem. If there's a bank holiday, you won't be able to get in there.
You can't get into the bank physically.
Yeah. So if you're concerned about your home in a tornado or something, there are safekeeping services that aren't banks that wouldn't be closed down in a bank holiday. And I don't know specifically to give you any names down there where you live, but I know in Los Angeles where I am, there are plenty of places where you can put cash and gold and silver, and there are locked facilities and lots of security, and they're not banks.
Would there be armed guards for a bank holiday?
Yep.
I would think so.
Oh, in a bank holiday?
Yeah. I would think they would put somebody.
I would think so, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
First time caller. Let's go to Shad in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi there, Shad.
Good morning.
Morning.
For taking my call.
Sure thing.
Question I had for your guest was on the silver bullion and coins.
Mm-hmm.
The little, like, the 1 ounce ingots. Any particular boundary in the rounds, like they have all kinds of different ones. How easy would that be to liquidate those?
Well, I think they'd be easy to liquidate, and I think it'd be easy to use them for barter. There are ingots, there are rounds. My preference is for the silver eagle or the silver gold eagle, because they're minted by the government and they're more likely to be accepted. So there's a slight premium of a silver eagle to just a regular 1 ounce round. But I think the few cents more that you pay for a silver eagle makes good sense, and I think they'd be very acceptable.
What do you think about buying, like, options on gold and silver? Risky.
Risky, George. I mean,
But if you could catch a run, huh?
I played that game. You got to know what you're doing. You get your feet burned.
You could get wiped out, like, in a day, can't you?
You can.
Wow, you got to be very careful. Only have about a minute left, John. I would love for you to tell people about your websites and your book titles again.
By all means. Thank you, George. My newsletter is thehardtruthmag.com. We have 12 monthly issues there, plus a great webinar on the dollar, where it's going, where it's been. And the books are available at Amazon.com. Just go to Amazon and put in John Truman Wolf. The most recent book is The Coming Financial Crisis, A Look Behind the Wizard's Curtain, and Amazon and thehardtruthmag.com.
And the websites are?
The websites are thehardtruthmag.com and johntrumanwolf.com.
Perfect. You make it easy, don't you?
I try to.
Okay, John, thanks again. Always great having you on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, George.
So something's going to happen. Folks don't know exactly when or what, but they feel it. But let's see, with the new Trump administration coming in January, let's see what they do. You know what? Can't be any worse than what it's been. At least I hope not.